about what's happening. I like that, how Marcy in the worship shared some of the things the Lord has been speaking unto her about how we should be sensitive to the Spirit. He who has ears to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. Hear what the Spirit is saying. The revelation of the Holy Spirit is something that is often overlooked in our lives. We tend to want to figure it out with our minds, figure it out with our brain. But the Holy Spirit is the one that's got it down. And He will minister that to our spirit and speak to us deeply about things that are coming or things that are going on, things that have already happened, and explain them to us. But praise God. Let's jump into God's Word. I want to show you something. The title I put up is 2023. It's going to have to do with the entire year, but I called it the Remnant Rising, and we'll get to that towards the end. But you'll see how there's a lot more to it than just that. But let's start with some prayer. Father, we are yielded to You in Your presence right here and now, Lord. I pray, speak powerfully into people's hearts this morning, Lord. Let Your Word just ring in our ears, Lord. Let Your Word be our guide and our teacher today, Lord. Let it guide us into truth that is of You and from You, Father, things that are solid in Christ, things that are going to help us to grow in our faith, and things that we need to know, to be aware of during this year, so that we are not led astray, that we are not deceived, we are not corrupted in any way, shape, or form, but we will come out on the other end shining bright as the remnant of You, Father. We pray You for this. I thank You for it. In Jesus' name, we say, Amen. Amen. So, every year, and literally, I guess I could say every day, I try to stay sensitive to what the Spirit of God is saying and doing within the body of Christ as a whole. Okay, obviously, it starts with me personally. I want to hear what is God asking of me. God asks things of me and has me do things that I don't want to do, and things that sometimes it's things I want to do, and He just prompts me to go that direction. But I have to be sensitive to that, and I ask Him for that on a regular basis. Beyond that, it goes to the body of Christ, this body right here. God will begin to speak things that He wants this body to hear, things that He's seeking from you, things that He's seeking for you and wants to bless you with. And so as being partially responsible, I'm an under-shepherd under Him, but responsible for this portion of God's flock, I want to be sensitive to that, to be able to present to you exactly what God wants you to hear. Beyond that, it goes to what God is saying regarding the spiritual atmosphere of our community, okay, of our city, of our county and the nation and our state and the nation, beyond that. Okay, so that you stay sensitive to what God is doing right here in Wyoming. There is some territorial spiritual atmosphere things that happen, and it's good to stay sensitive to that. Okay, beyond that, ultimately, the Lord will speak to His ministers about those things that are affecting the worldwide Church of Jesus Christ. Okay, the things that are happening that affect us all in one way, shape, or another. Okay, in one form or another. It's something that is a message that God is preparing, because we're all of one, right? Whether you're in China today, or you're in Texas, or you're in whatever. Name some other place, some foreign country like California or something like that, or Cambodia or Africa or wherever, we're all in one body of Christ, right? So God is going to have, He's not speaking a message that means something to one portion of the body but not to the other necessarily. He'll have that territorial stuff that we will sense, but He's going to have a message that is going to go to the entire Church of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're trying to get into today. Okay, In the end, according to the book of Revelation, we know that the kingdoms of this world that are currently run by Satan and his demons will become the kingdoms of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They will officially become, and He will reign forevermore. You can read that in Revelation. Okay, but in the days leading up to our day of redemption, okay, the Lord's coming back. How many know that? Does anybody believe that Jesus is coming back? Does anybody believe Jesus is coming back? Okay, He is coming back. Okay, He said He would, and He will, and He is. Okay, in the end, when He comes back on that day of redemption, it will all become, the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. Okay, that is Revelation. But in the meantime, right here and right now, as we lean towards and press into this day of redemption that is coming, it's important for the body of Christ to be able to discern the times, Jesus talked about it frequently in the Gospels. We see the disciples saying, well, then he told us, you know, hey, you can discern the times and seasons regarding the weather, or, you know, whether a tree is going to produce fruit or not. And you can discern all that, but yet he was kind of chiding them that you're missing it, that the kingdom of God is right here in front of you and you're not even seeing it. But it's important for us to be able to discern the times, to be aware of what's going on around us, okay, so as not to be caught off guard, okay? You can look it up, and I didn't look it up myself, but the word deceived is in the New Testament over and over and over again. In fact, I just happened to notice as I was going through scriptures this morning, it's in like three or four of the scriptures that we're going to read this morning, because it was a warning that he was giving to the body of Christ over and over through Jesus, through Paul, through John, do not be deceived. Why? Because that's the temptation. That is what gets people off track. Okay, Paul warned us more than once. He said that the day of the Lord shall come as unexpectedly and suddenly as a thief in the night. Okay, that's paraphrasing that just a little bit. He said when people are saying all is well and secure, okay, when the people are saying there is peace and safety, then in a moment unforeseen destruction, ruin and death will come upon them suddenly as labor pains upon a woman with child, and they shall by no means escape, for at that time there shall be no way to escape. Okay, if you read the book of Revelation, you see the prophecies, the things that are in place, and Daniel and other things, the things that are coming to pass will tell this same message that you need to prepare yourselves, be aware, be ready, be on the lookout, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Okay, but Paul goes on as he's explaining this. He's saying, yes, it will come as a thief in the night and many are going to be overtaken. But he says that we as Christians do not need to be captive to the darkness that blinds the minds of people so they can't see the day of the Lord approaching. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, okay, and if we use the gift of discernment that has been given to us through the Holy Spirit. It's one thing to have a gift given to you, it's another thing to use it. Okay? We went shopping and did a little bit in the little I always forget the name of it. It's Aspen something over in Saratoga. Aspen Sky, there you go. And we went shopping a little bit in there. They've got all kinds of stuff in there. Well, they had door prizes this day, and that if you bought $50 worth of stuff, you got like 5 door prize tickets or something. And so I ended up with a few tickets that I could fill out and put my name on it. And they had 3 different door prizes. One was a Barbie, okay? And one was like this, I don't know, flowers or kind of a ladies, something for ladies, basically, if you're into that. Hand lotions and basket and, you know, pretty stuff. Okay, and then they had a knife, right? And so guess which one I put my tickets in? Well, I won the door prize. They called me the next day and said, hey, Mr. Gilbert, just want to tell you won the door prize. You can come pick it up anytime. So I'm excited, but I haven't got over to Saratoga to get it yet. Okay, the gift has been given, but I'm not utilizing it. I haven't accessed it. I haven't even opened it, basically, at this point. Okay, that gift of discernment has been given to us by the Holy Spirit of God. It is one of the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit, discernment of spirits, to be able to discern and understand what is going on around you in the spiritual realm. Okay, and because of that, we do not have to be overtaken by the darkness. We don't have to be in deception and not understand what is happening around us, because we have the gift of discernment. We have the ability, if you'll open that gift and use it. Now, in the beginning of the year, every year, okay, this time of year, today is January 1st, praise God, it's the new year, 2023. But I'd like to share with you all what God is saying that will affect all of us one way or another, something that is a message that is to the body of Christ. Over the last few years, I've seen what I think of as sort of a progression, okay, of things that are happening that are accelerating the return of the Lord. Okay, this day when he comes back and it's all said and done, that day is quickly approaching. Okay, if you remember back in 2020, okay, I looked through some of my previous years to say, what was the message? What did it come to pass? Well, in 2020, it was called 2020 Vision. There it is. Okay, 2020 was the year, 2020 vision. Okay, and that's when Christians would see things clearer than before. Okay, beginning to understand the separation that must take place between good and evil. Okay, and if you recall, 2020 was a year when we were all made well aware of how easily the masses worldwide could be lied to, manipulated, and deceived. Even Christians bought in, hook, line, and sinker. We got involved in all that. 2021, then, was titled the Year of Courage. Okay, it's when Christians endured great trials of their faith to help them understand where they stood with God. Okay, life got harder for a lot of people in a lot of ways. It got harder spiritually. Things got more difficult. It got difficult in the financial area, okay, or emotionally. 2021 was an extremely emotionally tough year for a lot of people. The devil tried to suppress hope during that year, to try to discourage the body of Christ, to try to get people to turn away from God. But those who trust in the Lord endured courageously. Okay, it was a year of courage to stand up for what is right. 2022, last year, okay, it was a long title. It was the return to God's holy word. It was the unfiltered word, saying what needs to be said. Okay, anybody kind of remember that? It's only been 12 months. This is because as the day of the Lord quickly approaches, there simply isn't time to water down the message and not tell people what they need to hear because you're afraid you're going to offend them. People need to hear the word. They need to hear the unadulterated word, the true word, the unfiltered word. Okay? All this has led up to this moment in time, January 1st, 2023. Okay, on this day, all these things are leading up to where we're at right now. Okay, 2023 is going to be a unique year for the body of Christ. Okay, as the title that we saw in the beginning implies, it will be the year of the rising of the remnant of God's people. Okay, in fact, the Lord is saying that three things will take place during this year. That's only one, but the other two lead up to it. The first one has to do with personal responsibility. You're going to understand what that means more than any other time in your life. Personal responsibility. The second thing is that wokeism will be revealed. Okay, and I'll explain that. The third thing is that the remnant will rise. Okay, you know, I don't know if the body of Christ understands or maybe acknowledges this, but not all the people who profess to be Christians are going to endure unto the end. If you read your Bible, you will see many times in there where it talks about groups that just don't make it. Okay, people that thought they were, but they weren't, that hadn't really given their heart unto Christ. In fact, the Bible tells us that there will be a, quote, a great falling away during the last days. Okay, or the days leading up to the last days. Okay, and this is when the God of this world, okay, Satan, deceives the minds of the masses of Christians, and they willingly, and some of them even eagerly, give themselves over into the grasp of Satan to live in darkness. They turn from righteousness to wickedness. Walking in the light will become less appealing to many, and they will choose to live in the darkness, hoping that somehow their lives will be hidden from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that somehow their ungodly deeds will not be exposed. Okay, but God has not hidden His master plan from us. And He explains very clearly through the Scriptures that He will judge the inhabitants of the earth, and not one idle word nor one evil deed will be left unpunished. He can't, or He would not be a just God. In the end, only a remnant will be saved. Okay, so what is a remnant? Okay, anybody heard the word remnant before? It's in the Bible, but it's also in the natural English language, right? Okay, we have a remnant of carpet, right? What does that mean? It's a little piece, a little scrap left over, right? The big piece got sold, they didn't need the whole thing, so they cut this off, and here you now have a remnant of carpet. Okay, a definition of remnant would be a remaining usually small part, quantity, number, or the like. It is a fragment or a scrap, a small, unsold or unused piece of cloth, lace, or carpet, like a carpet remnant. It is a trace or a small part that still remains when the rest is gone. Okay, in biblical terms, think of it like this. Think of Noah's Ark. Okay, when the world had turned and was all caught up in wickedness, only 8 people were saved. Only a remnant were saved. The Apostle Paul, as he's explaining about how faith is what saves you, right? We're saved by grace through faith, right? That is very accurate. But as he's explaining this, he quotes the prophet Isaiah. Okay, and he says, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, only a remnant shall be saved. Okay, in other words, there's many, but only few are actually saved. Okay, as Jesus is describing the end of the days of the earth, as he's talking about what is going to come on the earth, read Matthew 24 and 25, but I got a quote here from Matthew 24. He's describing what will be happening during that time of the end times, leading up to his return. And it says in Matthew 24, 12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Okay, because lawlessness, unrighteousness, because that is multiplied and increased, the love of most people will grow cold. Okay, what's the greatest commandment in the kingdom? Love. Right? Love the Lord thy God with all your heart and to love your neighbor as yourself. So if love grows cold, we are not fulfilling the greatest commandment in the kingdom. Okay, the love of many, and if you look it up, it literally means the love of most will grow cold. They that endure unto the end will be saved, but they that are not paying attention, okay, those that are not resisting the temptation to go along with that lawlessness. It said iniquity shall abound or lawlessness will abound. Those that don't resist getting in on that, okay, I'm going to explain this. This ties right into wokeism. Okay, but they that get in on that lawlessness and feel like that's part of what's going to be okay to go along that direction, those that do not resist that temptation to jump in on the lawlessness will not make it. God is saying in the 2023 that the body of Christ needs to be reminded that living with one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom is not part of His plan. Complacency and compromise are not acceptable. I haven't even got to number one yet. Let's start with number one, right? Number one, personal responsibility. This is going to be revealed. You're going to see this more this year. We are taught by Jesus and by the Scriptures not to judge one another. Correct? Judge not, lest you be judged, the Bible says. But we're also very clearly taught that the reason we do not have to judge one another is because every one of us will stand before the judgment seat of God Himself. In Romans chapter 2, I don't have this verse for you to read. I'll just kind of tell you what it says. But in Romans chapter 2, Paul says, literally, quote, God will render to every man according to his works. To those who have done good and sought the glory and honor of God, they will receive eternal life in heaven. But to those who are self-seeking and self-willed and disobedient to the truth, but rather responsive to wickedness, there will be indignation and wrath. And there will be tribulation and anguish and calamity and constraint for every soul of man who habitually does evil. Romans chapter 2, you can read that. That's a paraphrase. You might think that that contradicts grace, though, right? I thought we were saved by grace, not by works, lest any man should boast, right? Doesn't matter what we do. We're saved by grace through faith. I believe in Jesus. But it does not contradict grace. Because you are not saved because of your works, but you are expected by God to do good works because of your salvation. Okay, you are a peculiar people, set apart unto good works, the Bible says. You are different, made special by God because He wanted somebody to demonstrate love, to demonstrate the goodness of God, to demonstrate for the others on the earth what it looks like to be a believer in Him. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Okay, grace is not a license to sin. Okay, I get frustrated sometimes with the body of Christ, the direction that we've gone in the last 30 years. It has really taken it into an almost what I call easy believism, where you get saved and then do whatever you want. As long as you're saved, you can live however you want. Okay, and the body of Christ has kind of picked up on that. We were taught the blessings. We were taught the favor, the goodness, the wonders of God, and oh, this is so great. And then people just started kind of living wrong. Okay, not realizing that there's a whole portion of God that says, "I saved you because you'll live better. You'll live differently." Okay, you're saved by grace, but you still have a lifelong goal of ridding yourself of all the evil. Okay, all the darkness or evil or sin or whatever you want to call it is not okay with God. And so He saved you to bring you out from among that. "Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord." That's a scripture. Okay, that is His command for us. If you have no reverence for God anymore, okay, if you've lost that fear of God, the righteous anger of God can be released on sin. It's true, it does. He hates wickedness. He hates evil. Okay, the Bible says that. If we've lost that reverence, where we don't think of there's an eternal punishment for evil, if we lose that inclination that God is the judge, that He is determining this, then you may have made a god of yourself. Okay, maybe you're in danger of reaping the punishment of the unbelievers. Because like I said, I'm going to read the scriptures to you. I'll just jump into the scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. He says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." 1 Corinthians 15:33. Again, it says, this is out of the Amplified. It says, "Do not be so deceived and misled. Evil companionships, communion and associations corrupt and deprave good manners and morals and character. Awake from your drunken stupor and return to the sober sense and your right minds and sin no more. For some of you have not the knowledge of God. You are utterly and willfully and disgracefully ignorant and continue to be so, lacking the sense of God's presence and all true knowledge of Him." He was writing to Christians. Galatians 6, verse 7 and 8. Again, there's that terminology. Be not deceived. Be not deceived. Christians today are so deceived in many areas. He says, "Be not deceived, for God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Another one, 3 John, verse 11. He says, "Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil has not seen God." Okay, remember, don't shoot the messenger. I'm just telling you what the Scripture says. Yes, we're saved by grace through faith, but it also says all this other stuff, right? You can't throw that out and say it doesn't exist. I'm simply reminding you what God said. He does not want you to be deceived. He doesn't want you to get caught up in, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how I live. He doesn't want you to get caught into that. Okay, you are personally responsible for how you act, and that is going to become even more apparent in the coming months. Okay, in 2023, you'll see that become apparent. God's grace is good. Okay, but God's grace is not a crutch to help you limp along through life with sin in your life. God's grace is there so you can throw the crutch away, walk uprightly, and live in righteousness. Number two, wokeism is going to be revealed. Okay, what is wokeism? Okay, that's a funny word. I like that word. Okay, I saw a quote the other day on wokeism. It defined, kind of gave a definition of wokeism. Wokeism, if you don't know, is a cult religion. Okay, it is a religion. It is the religion of mankind without God. Okay, where self is seated on the throne and subject only to his own rules. Okay, in other words, wokeism is Satanism in disguise. That's exactly what it is. It is Satanism in disguise. Okay, the quote that I saw the other day used the word woke, W-O-K-E, as an acronym, and it stood for willfully overlooking known evil. Okay, I don't know if that's the exact definition, but I like that. It really describes perfectly what wokeism is. It is intentionally, okay, willingly overlooking known evil. Okay, unfortunately, Satan has very slowly and yet strategically and intentionally infiltrated the body of Christ with wokeism. Christians are not just overlooking evil, okay, but rather intentionally justifying it in their lives, in the lives of the people around them. Saying, it's not so bad, okay? They're accepting things as okay that are clearly not okay with God. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, he said this, he said, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. You know, it's bad enough when the lost world around us is justifying their actions. When it's the lost world that is accusing the Christians of just being too narrow-minded. But when it's those who call themselves Christians that are pridefully proclaiming that evil is good, it is extremely grievous to the Holy Spirit. I don't know how many of you know the definition of the term blasphemy. Okay, but if you look that up, Jesus is one that said that whoever blasphemes the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him. That makes it seem like one of the unforgivable sins that's out there, probably the unforgivable. But the term blasphemy means to attribute the works of the Holy Spirit to Satan. And I would venture out that God is probably not too pleased with attributing the works of Satan to the Holy Spirit. Okay, turning that around where you're saying that evil is of God. Evil is good. Okay, wokeism is extremely deceiving. Okay, it's very subtle, but it is very deceiving. And we don't want to be deceived in these last days. Okay, we don't want to be caught off guard. 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul put it this way, verse 13, he said, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. For all scripture is given by God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or mature, truly furnished unto all good works. Okay, you can see right there why a solemn and adamant return to God's holy word, which was last year's theme, right? That was last year's message. We need to get back to the word as the truth of God. We can see why that's so vital. To start straying from God's word. To start making up our own way. For mankind determining apart from God what is right and wrong will only lead to destruction and despair. We're given a warning there in that verse 13. It said in 2 Timothy 3:13, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Okay, the number of people that are trying to justify things in their life is growing astronomically in recent days. This, in my own life, I've had people that have tried to convince me that idolatry is okay as long as it's just a tradition that we've kept in our family for years. Okay, or thinking that certain things, I can participate in that and it just doesn't affect me like it might you. Okay? And I had a guy adamantly try to convince me that pornography was perfectly fine with God. And that when Jesus said not to look at a woman with lust in your eyes, he didn't mean not to look at a woman with lust in your eyes. That's a direct quote. Adam and Eve ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And it opened the eyes of humanity to right and wrong. But human beings are still not the ones that get to determine what is right or wrong. Okay, we don't get to determine what is a sin and what is not a sin. We're not sinning against each other. We're sinning against God. He gets to say, that offends me. That hurts me. Paul said that strong meat belongs to them that are of full age or mature, to those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. But unfortunately, some are choosing to remain a babe in Christ. They don't want to grow up. They don't want to learn these things. They don't want to mature. Okay, they're hoping that their ignorance will somehow save them in the end. Okay, but unfortunately, it does not. We're not playing a game that everybody just gets a participation trophy because you went to church, right? It doesn't work that way in the kingdom of God. There are some serious expectations for those who call upon the name of Jesus. Jesus gave that parable, you remember, the guy that was going to build a barn, but he didn't count the cost, and he ended up not getting the barn built. He's making a point that when you get into the kingdom, you're thinking about stepping into Jesus, you better pay attention to what's going on around you. Okay, you better realize that it's a commitment. This is a lifelong, life-changing, forever commitment. There's some serious expectations for people that call in the name of Jesus. Okay, we have a personal responsibility to God to lay down our life and take up the cross and live a pure and holy life. Willfully overlooking known evil is not okay with God. If he says something is wrong, it's wrong. End of story. No discussion. Number three, the remnant. Okay, the remnant will rise up. I believe that God is saying that this year, we're going to see a separation taking place. Those who are not serious with God will become part of the great falling away. They will begin to slip and backslide. The Bible said it's harder to draw a man out of that than it is to get a pig to quit going back to the mud. Okay, it's harder to get them out of that stuff once they slip back into that. Those who are serious with God will rise to the occasion. Okay? And the few that choose the narrow road are going to become more and more evident. You're going to notice who is walking the walk and who is just saying it. Who is just saying they're walking the walk. Who is just pretending. Who is not really in it all the way. Who's got one foot in the world and living half and half. Listen to these scriptures. Jesus said this in Luke 13:22. Says, and he, Jesus, went about the cities and villages, teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait or narrow gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and has shut the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. When then shall you begin to say, but we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know ye not whence you are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. That's strong words by Jesus. Again, in Matthew 7, 13 and 14, he says, enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Some translations actually say very few find it. The few that do find it are the remnant of God. Listen to the day of the Lord that is coming. In Matthew 25, 31, Jesus, it says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. He goes on a few verses later in verse 41. He says, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Again, he goes on in verse 46 and he says, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous will go into life eternal. There is a separation in the last days that takes place. In 2023, you will see more clearly who is of God and who is not. Okay, who's faking it? Who's caught up in the wrong stuff? 1 John 3:3. He said this, he said, every man that has this hope, he was talking about the return of the Lord. He said, and every man that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. And whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for the sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested, Jesus was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not, and whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he would destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Remember what we read where the love of many would wax cold? Okay, that's where you'll notice it the most is in the body of Christ. Okay, for somebody not to love somebody in the world that was mean to them or whatever. Okay, some people try to justify that. That's not okay either. But when it starts to begin in the body of Christ where people are not loving one another within the body, it will become apparent to those who are looking, who are paying attention. Okay, the remnant seeking to adhere to the Word of God and fulfill God's calling to live a holy life will expose the darkness, and thereby they may lose popularity. I'm okay with that, just so you know. I'm okay with that. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. He says, "For you were," speaking to Christians, he says, "you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. So walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says to abstain from all appearance of evil. Okay, another way to say that is to abstain from every form of evil. Withdraw from it. Keep away from it in whatever form or whatever kind it may be. Doesn't matter. If it's evil, avoid it. 1 Timothy 5:20 says, "Them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear." Okay, and the Amplified puts it this way, 5:20, "As for those who are guilty and persist in sin, rebuke and admonish them in the presence of all, so that the rest may be warned and stand in wholesome awe and fear." That doesn't sound like we should be afraid to offend somebody, to say what needs to be said. If it needs to be corrected, it will be corrected. Those who choose to walk in the truth are going to shine like a beacon in 2023. Jesus said to let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The light of Christ will be shining through the remnant everywhere that they go. No matter who you are, no matter where you're at in your walk with the Lord, you can be part of the remnant. There is none that is disqualified because of a past behavior. Okay, it starts today. It starts right now. Today is January 1st, 2023. Good time to get started, right? Okay, moving forward, like the woman that was caught in adultery, the woman that Jesus said, just go and sin no more. He didn't condemn her. Everything from the past didn't lead up to that moment. And yet right there, he says, just go and sin no more. He gave her that option. That's the same as each of us gets every single day. Okay, we wake up, the Lord's mercies are new every morning. That's why I say good morning no matter what time of day it is, because it's a good thing that God's mercies are new every day. Okay, so we get to wake up and we get to start with a new day. We get to seek and ask and thank God for that forgiveness, that His grace is sufficient. Okay, God help me to overcome this. God help me to live differently. I want to be different. I want to live different. I want to move forward and not be the same as I was yesterday. You get that choice every single day. You have to resist against that spirit of wokeness. Okay, that religion that wants you to willfully overlook evil and pretend like it doesn't matter, to pretend like it doesn't exist. Make choices that express your understanding of your personal responsibility towards God. Okay, if you had to stand before Him right here, right now, today, and explain what you did this morning, what you just got done doing, live with an understanding of your personal responsibility towards God and set your sights high. Okay, set your sights high. Be a part of that remnant. I want to be part of the remnant. I want to make it all the way to the end. I've said that before, talking about the end of days and last days and the tribulation and all the things that could be coming on the earth, and hundreds and thousands of people are going to be taken and removed from the earth. If you read the book of Revelation, it looks like 2/3 of the population doesn't make it. Okay, according to Revelation, and it even narrows it down and gives a number, 144,000. I think there's a spiritual significance to that number. But imagine all these people that refuse to turn. All these people that are given the opportunity to see God as God. He's pouring out and unleashing the plague so that they will turn unto Him. And they're still saying, "No, I choose not to believe God." We get to be part of the remnant that rises. And this year is going to be that time when we see it happening. We get to be a part of it. Okay, that's my goal as a church, is that we get to be a part of the remnant rising. That we get to be part of the ones that are standing up for what is right, that are standing on the Word of God, that are believing and walking in truth and righteousness. That's who we are. That's who we are leading and trying to ensure that we make it all the way to the end. I want to still be standing. I want to see my Lord coming. I want to see Him coming. It'd be okay to rise from the dead, but I still want to see Him. I want to be part of that, that gets to be involved in that. If you read Revelation, they are in awe. It's a powerful, powerful time. And I love those kind of moments with God, and that's the one I want. Okay, and I think I can get there. So praise God. Father, we praise You this morning. Father, I thank You that, Father, You speak some hard things sometimes, Lord, to us to help keep us on the right track. I pray that we understand Your true grace. I pray that we understand Your love and Your forgiveness and Your mercy and Your compassion. I pray that we understand all those things in truth as they truly are and what they stand for, what they allow for, what they lead us to in our life. Father, I thank You that You're speaking to hearts this morning, helping us to move forward in our faith, to move forward in our respect for You, our understanding of You, our reverence for You, Father, that we live every day with an acknowledgement that You are our God, You are our King and our Master, and that we yield ourselves to You in Your power, to Your Holy Spirit, to let You live and breathe, connect with us in our spirit, and Lord, let us live it out, to hear what You're saying, to walk forward in better things, Lord. We praise You for it. I thank You for it. It's in Jesus' name that we say, Amen. Amen and amen. 2023.